Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are risen from the dead. You are alive, and you are seated with your Father in the heavenly places. Jesus, this changes everything. Because, Lord Jesus, you have called us out from this world to be a part of the life that you are now living. And you have called us into this world to allow you to impart your life to the people dwelling in darkness. I pray that this day you will speak to us about how you have called us and are calling us. Join us to you. We give you this time and pray in your name. Amen. Well, how many of you know what the Citrus Tower is? Any of you been there? Gosh, not very many. Apparently, they need better advertising. It's one of these pre-Walt Disney World tourist sites in Central Florida. If you go down Highway 27, you'll come to it around the little town of Clearmont. And it is a tower in the shape of the Empire State Building. And you could go to the top of that tower, and in years gone by, you could look out from all directions and see orange groves, all the citrus industry of Central Florida laid out before you, thus the name Citrus Tower. And when I was a kid, I can remember doing just that, going up there and looking at the world in which I grew up, which was a world of orange groves and oak trees and lakes, all of rural Central Florida. Incidentally, we had a couple of freezes in the 1980s that took out all of those orange groves, wiped them out in a two-year process. And so today, you can still go to the Citrus Tower, but if you go to the top, you will look out in all directions at an ocean of houses, because all the orange groves are gone. But when I grew up, it was all country out there. And I loved it because that was my kind of world. Wide, open, empty spaces filled only with nature. And I came to know God in that world. I began to, from a very early age, sense that there was more going on there than just the beauty of nature. And I began to sense the presence of one who created all of that. And in church, I learned who that was. I learned about Jesus Christ. And I learned about God's creative acts. And I learned to commune with God, not only in church buildings, but also in the church of God's world, the remnants of the garden still visible for those who have eyes to see. I loved it. I loved it not only because God was there, and not only because it was beautiful, but also because I was a quiet guy. I actually am. You don't have to laugh, really. I'm an off-the-charts introvert. Off the charts. The meter breaks when they try and measure how introverted I am. And so when I was young, I was indeed very quiet. I was shy. I was kind of withdrawn. I felt very awkward among people. I distinctly remember when I changed schools in second grade, going to be among a new group of peers and sensing that they all had these rich relationships with one another because they'd all known each other, but I was the newcomer. And so I kind of stood on the outside. And I can tell you that through all those years of elementary school, middle school, high school, on and on, I still found myself feeling like I was on the outside. I didn't fit in, I didn't think. I was kind of different, I was kind of separate from others. And from an early age, I began to experience loneliness. I didn't have a word for it at first, but I knew that there was a hollow, uncomfortable feeling when I would be among people that something was not clicking there. Something wasn't working. And somehow there was oil and there was water. I was that little blob of oil. And then there was all this water out there. And I could not figure out how to become a part of all of that. And that went on for years, even into college, especially in college. The loneliness persisted. I went to the University of Florida. I could be in a crowd of 60,000 screaming fans at a University of Florida football game and feel as though I was living on the dark side of the moon, with no other humanity in sight. As much as I was quiet, I also wanted to connect, but I didn't know how. And even though I did connect, I couldn't do it. I couldn't connect. Even though I had friends, even though I had a loving family, even though all of these things were true, I did have rich and wonderful community, but it was still oil and water. I began to experience a deep sense of separateness. And along with that, all the emotions that go with it: sadness, despair, depression, anxiety. As I look back, that was true of me from early ages. It was a persistent life experience, and it just got darker. And by the time I was in college, it was overwhelming. And I prayed, I sought God because I knew God. And I prayed that God would take that away from me, that God would change that, that somehow that hollow, empty, agonized feeling on the inside would go away, and that I could finally feel nourished in my heart, in my heart of hearts, where I needed above all to know love and nothing. Day after day, month after month, year after year, nothing, nothing, nothing. And sometimes I would get very angry at God. Why won't you change this? I looked around at my friends. They had other lives, different kinds of lives, the kinds of lives that I wanted to live. They got up in the morning and it was great. They had breakfast, it was great. They went to class, wow, that was great. They got together with friends, yay, it was great. I did all those things. And still, darkness, 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 darkness. God, why won't you make my life like their life? Why won't you fill me up? Why don't you fill these empty spaces? Why won't you give me what I need? Quiet, shy, awkward, lonely, with no end in sight. Well, when it changed, it wasn't like a lightning bolt. Some ways it's never changed. The shift came more like dawn on a cold winter morning when it goes from pitch black to somewhat gray, and you're not at all convinced that anything is actually happening. But there did come a shift that I am aware of in retrospect that I could not perceive at the time. And the shift was this, and I can tell you it wasn't what I was looking for. Instead of God taking me out of all of that, he began to open my eyes to other people who were like me. Maybe not exactly like me, but other people who also in their heart of hearts felt pain, felt suffering, could not get away from it. Some of them, many of them, far worse than me. Mine was nothing compared to what many other people went through on a day-to-day basis. They're out there all over the place, incidentally. Sometimes not very noticeable, but they're there. And I began to know that and see that and to find that I was actually okay with that because it was familiar. Suffering was familiar. I had my own. Other people had theirs. I didn't have to flee theirs. And so what I found was that the shift was not towards an end of suffering so much as it was a shift towards compassion for those who are suffering. And so rather than being pulled out of suffering, I was directed further into it, but in new ways. Suddenly there were other people there. Now, I started out my career life, my adult life. I'm still not sure that I'm an adult. But I started out that life as a reporter. And being a quiet guy, writing is a great fit. Incidentally, calling sources for those articles, not a good fit. But I was a reporter, and so I wrote, and I still remember the day that I went, this was in Central Florida, I went to cover there was a fire at a nursing home. And it wasn't a horrible fire, but it was bad enough that they had to empty the place for a little while so they could clear the smoke out and so forth. It was a rainy day. I showed up. There were all these people who had been extracted from their rooms, from the one little place where they were at peace and okay, and out they went. And some of them sitting in wheelchairs in the rain. And I took notes and asked people questions, and then I went on my way, and I thought, oh, that's not right. I should do something. I found myself guided into a different profession. I headed for counseling and psychology, sensing that somehow compassion was a meaningful part of my life. But that wasn't the end of it. I found myself headed towards ministry, ordained ministry. See, all the while, what I found was that God was at work. He was walking with me through the darkness, even though I didn't feel it. He was unfolding his kingdom in the darkness, even though it wasn't the way that I wanted it to happen. Somehow, it was important that I be able to go out into the lonely places of this world and be among others who dwell there. And not only that I go there, but that I notice and be with Jesus in the midst of that. At one point, he called me in a very clear way when I was looking at a call to a new church that would have been a wonderful experience of being rector of a beautiful church. And I really wanted to go there. And once again, God took me out. He said, Craig, I'm in the highways, the byways, the bars, the brothels, the crack houses. That's where I am, Craig. Because Jesus, you see, came into the darkness to dwell there. And he said, that's where church is happening. I want you to join me there. And so what God did was he began to reframe my story. It wasn't just about darkness and suffering. It was also about the unfolding of God's kingdom, specifically through suffering. He took my story and seated it in his story. We see this again and again and again in Scripture. We see it on the road to Emmaus, which we just heard today. As these disciples were caught up in their story, which at that point was a story of broken hopes and dreams, of betrayal from the one that they trusted, loss, death, having to flee. That was their story. And right into the midst of it, Jesus began to walk with them. And he told them their story in another way. He told them the rest of the story. And it changed everything. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we heard that story? It changed everything. They turned right around from fleeing Jerusalem and went back to Jerusalem. It changed what they were doing. They went from hopelessness to hope. They went from suffering and loss to great joy. Jesus was ultimately going to send them to the ends of the earth. This also happened in 2 Chronicles when we hear Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah gathering once again around the story, saying, God, remember when? And in the midst of that, God told them the rest of the story. He said, okay, here's what's really going on. You're afraid, you're overwhelmed by these enemies that are coming after you. Let me tell you, this battle that you think is directed at you is actually my battle. I will fight this battle, and I will win this battle because this is my day. And you will come and be a part of it, and you will witness it. God took their story, seated it within his great story, and everything changed. As God does this, he creates a still point for us where we can encounter and know God anew. As our psalm today said, be still and know that I am God, or to use the translation we use, desist and know. Just stop. In the midst of your story, pause and know that God is here. Jesus is risen, and he is taking your story and seating it within his great story. That story is not ended by suffering. That story takes the deepest darkness that anyone can go through and turns it around for God's glory and for the impartation of eternal life. And as we come to God in the midst of that still point, he draws us back to him. He reorients us to his mission. And he commissions and powers and sends us. Each of us has a story. It's your story. And what you know of it, that's not the whole story. There's a bigger story. In this Easter season, today, I encourage you to let Jesus take you on that road to Emmaus. Let Jesus join you there and tell you your story anew. So to close this time, you'll see in your bulletin a piece of paper that asks a few questions. It's an invitation to a reflection, and we'll just take a couple minutes to do this. A few minutes. So if you will, let this be the beginning of a reflection. But you'll notice there's that sheet that invites you to consider some of the highlights, some of the main events and people and experiences in your life journey. And I've broken it out for you in terms of seasons of life. Some of you can address all those seasons. Others of you haven't gotten to all of them yet. That's okay. Got a few. Just hold up your hand and we'll give it out to you. Got one over there, one over there. Anybody else need a sheet? A couple back there. So just think for a few minutes about what some of the highlights are, some of the things that just come first to mind as you think about your life story. Birth to adolescence, adolescence to early adulthood to middle adulthood on. Think about the highlights of your story. Some of those events are going to be good and some of them bad. But I just invite you to take note of those, and we're going to pray over those in just a couple of minutes. So you can write on that paper or just let it percolate in your mind. Let me give you about 2 minutes. As these moments in your life come into view, some of them rich and beautiful, some of them painful and dark, as names and faces come to mind, as feelings and experiences of all of these things are recalled. I invite you to pray with me silently over these stories. Jesus, though we may not have seen you, though we may have been oblivious to you, you were present in every instant, in every moment of our lives. You were present. I ask for each of us that if there is a moment, a memory, if there is something that has come to mind today, where we need to connect with you. Maybe it was a beautiful moment, but we thought it was all ours. Maybe it was a painful moment, and we cannot understand why you did not save us from those experiences. And we cannot recover from those wounds. Jesus, wherever you would like to go to assert your presence, to show us where you were, do so. And I ask that as these stories linger in our minds, that you will tell us our stories anew, that you will tell us the rest of the story. Show us how our stories fit into your great story, so that we may trust you as the author and finisher of our salvation, the author and finisher of our stories. And Lord Jesus, the plans that you have begun, bring them to completion. The works that you have begun in our lives, bring them to their glorious conclusion as a full part of your kingdom. We offer our stories to you. We offer ourselves to you as journeyers through this life. And we ask that just as you join the disciples on the road to Emmaus, just as you join Jehoshaphat and his people in the midst of their story, so join us in ours. For the glory of your name. And Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
This morning's a little different. A little more time of prayer and reflection. But as is our tradition, after the preaching of the word, we declare our faith using the historic words of one of the creeds. I invite you now to please stand.